Should turn to Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 4. Those are two scriptures that we're going to, main scriptures that we're going to look at today. Of course, you know me, I'm going to give you a lot more scriptures than that, but those are two of the main ones, Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll be putting everything up here on the PowerPoint slide. And we're still in this series on the book of Acts. May be on it forever until Jesus comes back. I'm telling you, there's so much stuff, good stuff in the book of Acts. And as I started studying the book of Acts, the person that's in the book of Acts that just comes alive to you is the Holy Spirit. And so that's the title of my message today, is the Holy Spirit is a person. Last week we talked about, and I encourage you to go back if you weren't here and listen to that message. You can go to hfchurch.com and listen to any of our past messages. But we talked about the Holy Spirit is God, that he's the third person of the Trinity. There's Father God, there's Jesus, the Son of God, and then there's the Holy Spirit. They're three, yet they're one. And a lot of this teaching that I'm doing in conjunction with the book of Acts comes from Robert Morris's, Pastor Robert, who's a pastor that I listen to a lot. He's a great Bible teacher. But he wrote a book about the God I never knew. And it's the God I never knew is he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and how real friendship with the Holy Spirit can change your life. And it's just a great read. I encourage you to get it. If you're a reader, you can go to Amazon. You can go to their Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, their website, and order it as well. But there's whole theological persuasions. I don't feel like I have to do this today, but I'm still going to share it anyway. I feel like everybody in here, I know most of you in here, I feel like you know that the Holy Spirit is a person, okay? But there's a whole denominations and theological persuasions that teach that the Holy Spirit is an it or a force. There's even, I even know of a book, and if I said his name, you would be shocked. But I read the book, but the book was called It, that a pastor wrote, or well-known pastor that wrote, is a book called It, and he was basically talking about how some churches have it and some people don't have it. and it, he was referring to, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so just wanted to share that. I don't feel like I've got to harp on that too much or preach on that too much, because I feel like everybody here understands that the Holy Spirit is a person. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, duh, he's a person. But I want to hopefully this message today, this teaching, is going to show you the benefit of having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And so I'm going to show you some scriptures real quick before we get to Romans chapter 8. But Matthew 12, verse 18 says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." Everybody say soul. I just want you to see that the soul is in Scripture talking about God having a soul. "My soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles." This is talking about Jesus. It's like the Father talking about his Son. "My soul is well pleased in him." So that the Father has a soul. I just want you all to see this in Scripture, okay? Because, like I said, there's people out there that teach that the Holy Spirit is an it, and he's not. He's a person. And then the next scripture is Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. It says, "Then he said to them, my soul," this is Jesus speaking, "is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." So Jesus is saying, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. When you go back in the book of Genesis, and I probably should have put this up here, when God breathed into mankind, it said that Adam became a living soul, okay? That's what separates us from any of the animals. We're a living soul. And then Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." All right, so there's that soul. God's saying he has a soul. I want you to see that. So what is the soul? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'll never forget this. I was preaching, or actually teaching and preaching at Camargo years ago, and this gentleman has went home to be with the Lord, and I would consider him, I mean, he loved reading the Bible and everything, and I'll never forget the day that I shared this scripture during a Sunday morning service, and he came up to me and he said, this is what he said, he goes, "That scripture proves that we're just like God, we're three parts in one." And I said, yes, it does. That's why I shared that scripture today. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body. Everybody say spirit, soul, and body. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the soul, and some of you may have heard this before, these are going to be my 3 points today. The soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? You might want to write that down, post it, tweet it. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. We're created in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. Then our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. I've already told you that the Bible always refers to the Holy Spirit, and we really talked about this last Sunday. The Bible always refers to the Holy Spirit as a person, not as an it or a force, because he's a person, we can know him personally. Now, I how many of you ever try to help God out with things? Yeah, I do too. And I said, God, you know what? All right, you named Jesus, Jesus, all right? We all know Jesus. I said, it would have probably helped if you'd have gave the Holy Spirit a name too. Instead of the old, you know, the old King James Version is the Holy Ghost. Well, boo, you know, everybody's already scared when you say the Holy Ghost. And so this is funny. I think that he should have named the Holy Spirit Bill. I really do. Because then, Judy, just let me explain. Judy's looking at me like, oh my gosh, the lightning's not going to strike me, I promise. Is God's got a sense of humor too. Is if you named him Bill, then the formal churches could call him William. And then the really wild Pentecostal churches can call him Billy, or Billy Bob, I should say. But I was just thinking, and God's like, no, Mark, he's the Holy Spirit, okay? But I'm going to name him Bill. So don't, if you come up to me sometime and say, Bill told me, then I'm going to know what you're talking about, all right? But the Holy Spirit is, and I want you to stay with me for just a second. The Holy Spirit is really not his name. His name is God, okay? And that really describes his function or his description or his function in the Godhead, all right? He is God the Father who by his Spirit is indwelling us. If you've been saved, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You have God in you and God is with you. And that is comforting news to know today. So I just want you to know, like the chair you're sitting on, it's not a person. A tree, and then somebody will say, well, a tree has life. Yes, it does, but it's not a person, okay? And I know there's people that argue with me on that they'll go out and talk to a tree all day long. Well, guess what? It's not talking back, okay? It has life, but it's not going to talk back because it's not a person. But a person has a personality, and a person has a soul, which is their mind, their will, and their emotions. So here's what you do with your mind. You think with your minds. You desire with your will, and you feel with your emotions. And so I'm going to take this a little bit further because we're wanting to develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit through this teaching. The Holy Spirit, what he does, his function, what he does is he helps us think, desire, and feel what God thinks, desires, and feels. But it's a choice for you to submit your will, your mind, your will, your emotions to his over yours. And then that's when you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. All right. So here's the 3 points today. Number one is the Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind. And this is John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he, and I underline he just so you'll understand that he is a person, will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So he's listening to the Father, all right? And he's going to speak to you. Have you ever thought about this? What is God's IQ? All right? IQ stands for intelligent quotient is what that means. Albert Einstein, listen to this, had an IQ of 209. Just a few points above mine. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm about 100 below that probably, if all truth be known. But that's amazing. But I would just want you to think about this. God is intelligence. He is I. He is not IQ. He is I. He is omniscient, means he's all-knowing. He knows everything. Just, this is a funny statement. God can never think of anything that he hasn't thought of before. Yeah, that's amazing. Just think about that. God can never think of anything that he hasn't thought of before. And so here's what I want you to tell you. If you're saved and you know the Holy Spirit, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have God dwelling within you, you have someone living on the inside of you that knows everything about everything and has committed himself to be your teacher. That is good news. Everybody said? Amen. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to submit your mind, your will, your emotions to the Holy Spirit to let that mind be in you. Okay, here's number two. Number two, the Holy Spirit has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. And there's a scripture in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, I actually looked that up, and that's how you say that, by the way. All right, I didn't say hard word, as you noticed. It's Phrygia. And the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, everybody say forbidden, by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, later on, they did go to Asia. Asia opened up to them. But at that time, the Apostle Paul, on these missionary journeys, it says that the Holy Spirit forbade them or forbid them for going to preach the word in Asia. The word forbid or forbade means to exercise your will. So basically, the Holy Spirit was stern and firm in saying, you're not going through this door. You're not going to Asia. Can't let you go. How many daddies we got in here? All right. How many of you ever had to be stern and firm with your kids? Yeah. And mamas, let them be that way. Mamas, let dad help you in disciplining your kids. Amen. And everybody said. Amen. And Mark Ward's not here today because he's coaching on Father's Day. And he's up in Pueblo where they go every year. And we were talking one day, and he was talking about in coaching. This works in coaching. It don't work in parenting, okay? In coaching, if he's got an assistant coach, they can play good cop, bad cop. And sometimes that works. A lot of times it works. You can't be good cop, bad cop in parenting husband and wife. I mean, one of you being the bad person, the other one being the good person. You both have got to be on the same page, making the same decisions. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many of you have strong-willed kids? It's the other two, Dana. She didn't even know you were sitting back there, I don't think. Oh boy. We're gonna have family counseling after church. Oh, I love it. But if you have strong-willed children, you know what I'm talking about. And so the Holy Spirit, we're God's kids, right? And there's some kids he's got to be really stern and firm with, and some they'll just weep and say, okay, Father, I'll do it, right? It's just like I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He was so strong-willed and going the other direction, God had to knock him off his horse and strike him blind for him to wake up. How many of you like to do that with some of your kids? Right? To get him to wake up. And I'm sharing all this to say this. The other day, this weekend, and I knew what I was going to be sharing today with you, and I was just thinking about the strong will, and the Holy Spirit has a will, and it's good if you have strong-willed kids because they're going to do some great things for the kingdom of God, but you've got to know how to parent them, and you parent every child differently and everything. And I had my grandson, Jarek, who's three now, whenever he was born, I, as a granddad, I wanted to pray over my kids and speak life over them, speak prophetic words over them. And I had a prophetic word for my grandson right when he was born. And I literally had this impression, and the Holy Spirit gave me this, and I wrote it down and gave it to Taya, this whole prayer. But one of the things, one of the sentences was, after I wrote it, I went, oh, no. Because the sentence was, where others won't, you will. And I was like, oh my gosh, this little boy is going to have a strong will. Well, by gosh, the prophecy has come to pass at three. He's got one. He is strong, 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 strong. And the other day, he was at our house yesterday, and he's got in this kick where he does not wear clothes. He just cannot wear clothes. When he goes outside, they've got to all come off. And he is brown from head to toe, okay? I would put a picture up there, but I'm not going to do that, just to prove that he is brown from head to toe. And he wanted to go ride the golf cart, so I took him on the golf cart for a little ride. And we got back to the house where we live at, over at Foss in the Sky Acres Edition. There's an older gentleman that has some more land there. Well, he made a little park for all the kids that come into that addition to play at. And it's a really nice little deal. But we, you know, and there's times that we take Jarek over there if we have somebody with him. And that day I couldn't go with him, and I wasn't wanting to go with him, but he made me go with him. No, he made his dad go with him. But anyway, we pulled up on the golf cart, and he takes off, and he's butt naked. And he's walking, he had to walk across the road to get to it. And this is what's going on. He's walking across the road, and I start hollering at him, Jarek, Jarek. And then I get firm and stern in Grandpa's voice, Jarek, Jarek. And he's walking across the road, and he's butt naked, and he goes like this. And he's still looking at me. And I had to turn my head and laugh, and I was just like, I'm not chasing him. I'm not going to bust his hiney. I'll let Dad do that, you know. And but we had a little sit down talk, and my daughter, I had to tell her, and Cameron was there too. I said, Taya, there's a day of reckoning coming for Jarek, and you need to let her daddy do it. And Taya was looking at me like, Dad, don't tell me how to parent, you know, like I got it all figured out, you know. And I said, honey, there's things you can do, but there's things that only dads can do. And you're going to have to get out of the way and submit your will to the Holy Spirit, number one, and let Daddy do what he can do. And I'm not telling Dad, hear me out. Don't go beating my grandkid to death, all right? That's not what we were talking about. It was just a little boy needs his dad to set him down and have a man-to-man talk and to know who's boss and who's in authority. And everybody said, amen. I'll never forget when I was a preteen. I even told Taya this story. When I was a preteen, right? Preteens have got it all figured out, right? Yeah. Is there any preteens in here? Even teenagers got it all figured out. And I'll never forget one time I challenged my dad. And my dad looked at me, and I knew he meant business. And he put the fear of God into me. I'll just say it like that, okay? That we were going to go outside, and somebody was going to come out on top, and it wasn't going to be me, okay? And here's the deal, guys. I'm trying to tell parents how to parent. You got to be on the same page. You can't be good cop, bad cop. Sometimes, mama, you're going to have to get out of the way, let dad do it. Amen? Yes. And dads can have that. God put that in us. The Father God put that in us. The woman has, the wife, the mom has traits of God. That's why we had the fruit of the Spirit on Mother's Day. And today I'm talking about discipline a little bit here because both of you work together, you know, in raising your children, but you got to be on the same page. And Jade and I had a talk last night how we're going to handle family situations and that we need to be on the same page so that we're already making these pre-made decisions. When these things happen, you and I are going to say this together. Yes. And everybody's going to line up. Oh, okay? Yeah. And we're not listening to our daughter. And I'm putting this on tape. All right. So, but it's all about wills. We all have wills, and some people have stronger wills than others, and it's okay. That's how God made you. That's how God wired you. But be sure that you have your will submitted to the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. And there's going to be times where I thought about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. I thought about Jacob in the Old Testament. The Bible says he wrestled with God, and he came away with a limp. You know, and sometimes, you know, that wrestling with God, you're going to come away submitted, but you might be limping, you know, a little bit. But God's boss, amen? God's got the highest authority, not you or anybody else. So you got to listen to him. So I put this scripture in here, and this is for us dads, Hebrews 12, verse 11. It says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And everybody said, amen. God disciplines his children because he loves us. It's done out of love. It's done out of love, not out of anger or meanness or anything like that. It's done out of love. And I'm just going to say just some more parenting tips is if you go by Jewish tradition, that says in Jewish tradition they become an adult at the age of 13. So those years going up to the age of 12 are very important that you're molding and shaping them into who they need to be. And every parent is every child is different. And so you've got to pray. You're going to know the general will of God. I'm going to show you. The general will of God in Scripture is we discipline our kids. It tells us to, right? I can take you to all kinds of, in Proverbs, even about not sparing the rod. I said it. You can spank your kids. Amen? Amen. That says it in the book of Proverbs. It tells us to discipline. That's the general will of God, right? The specific will of God is you're going to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit that knows that child better than you do so you know how to discipline them. Because every child's different. Because Tay even told me, she goes, Dad, I have spanked him. It don't faze him. I said, well, then there's something else that you haven't tapped. You need to ask the Lord. There's something else that can be done. And everybody said, amen. Okay. So how do I know the will of God? That's something I get asked a lot as a pastor. How do I know the will of God? How do I know the will of God? How do I know the will of God? Here's the deal. I can't hear God for you. I can hear God with you. Okay, and it'll be confirmation to you, and I'm saying get counsel and all those things, but you've got to develop your own personal relationship with God so that you know what God is saying, okay? I can't hear God for you. Pastor Robert, in his book, he shares a story about had a guy come up to him after service. I've had this happen too, and I was like, man, I wish I'd have shared. I've got ammo now. But the guy came up to him after church, said, what's God telling you about me? Like that, and he said, well, I'm going to be honest with you, nothing right now, but if he does, I'll be sure and let you know. And Robert said, I went home, and he said, Pastor Robert said, and he said, the next day I was in my quiet time, and I remembered that guy coming up to me, and I said, Father, do you have anything that you want to tell him? And he said, man, I heard it just like that. The Holy Spirit said, yeah, I'll tell him I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him personally. And he's like, okay, yeah. So that's what God wants. I can hear God with you, but I can't hear God for you. And everybody said, amen, because that's manipulation and control when you start doing stuff like that, and that's not biblical. So in the Word of God, you go through the Word of God, and you're going to find the general will of God is in the Word of God. For instance, how to be a father, how to be a mother, how to be a wife, how to be a husband. That's all in the Word of God, the general will of God. But specifically, the specific will of God comes through a relationship by hearing His voice. For instance, in the Word of God, you can learn about marriage, but your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit is going to tell you who to marry or who not to marry, too. Okay, and so that's how the general and the specific will of God works together. Here's another one. I'm going to shock some of you today that we don't even know. Every one of us in here, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord, we do not know what to pray. The only way you know what to pray is if the Holy Spirit tells you. That's the only way, through a relationship with Him. I'm going to show this to you in the Word. The Bible, you know, when Jesus, the disciples, they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then that Jesus did. He showed them that model prayer, you know, the Lord's Prayer. But He didn't tell them what to pray. Okay? He did it a little bit in that model. But you're going to have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in your situations and circumstances that you're going through in your marriage, your family, your finances, your job, your career, specifically knowing what to pray over different things. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Romans 8:28, we all love this scripture and we quote it. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And everybody said, amen. It's all working to the good. Everything's working to the good. That's what the Father's doing on your behalf behind the scenes if you're submitted your will to His. If you jump up and read the two scriptures before that, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For here it is, this is scripture, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray. That's what the Bible says. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints, here it is, according to the will of God. There it is. If you want to know the specific will of God, you're going to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to specifically, I got to get that word out of my vocabulary today, show you how to pray over that situation or whatever you're dealing with. Jade and I were talking on the way up here. Jade has been encouraging Taya. Taya, I know you've been to psychology. You know, I know you graduated and you're a counselor, you're a licensed PC now. But you know what? He knows more than you do about how to handle Jerick. So you need to pray and ask the Father. And he's three. Let's do it before he's 23. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, we're 4:13. All right, number three. Number three is the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Read this on Mother's Day, Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. But there is something with the Holy Spirit having emotions. The Holy Spirit can have joy, love, you know, all those, you know, the emotions, the feelings, all those things. But I'm going to show you in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, which is where I want you to turn to the last Scripture. And this is verses 25 through 32, and I'm going to show you how that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever grieved the Holy Spirit and you knew it? Okay, yeah, I have. I have too. I grieved the Holy Spirit yesterday, and I knew it as soon as I did it. And all you got to do in your mind, and if another person is involved, which is my wife, you can repent and ask forgiveness. And the situation is, whenever I'm driving a boat on the lake or a pontoon boat, when people are trying to tell me what to do and how to do it, I get real short and snippy. Amen. Okay. And Jada looked at me. I was driving the boat, and I got a little short and snippy with her, and she looked at me like she cocked the head like that, and I knew I'm dead, right? If I don't repent and say I'm sorry soon before the day is over, I'm dead. And so we kissed and made up later. But here's the deal is, I'm telling you guys, you've got the Holy Spirit will help you in those situations. Just simple little, we laugh at that, but that's simple little relationship things that the Holy Spirit will help you with. Because he wants to help you. He wants to, in all the little bitty things, plumb up to the very big things. And I knew as soon as I did it, I was like, it was almost as soon as I did it, I was like, there's a disconnect from God.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I want to walk that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That as soon as I do something, I feel that disconnect so I can get back connected. Not only did I feel disconnected from her, I feel disconnected from God. Because the Word says that if you don't treat your wife right, your spouse right, your prayers are hindered. And that Scripture is actually said towards men. And everybody said,
amen.
Okay, all right. Man, I didn't plan on sharing that, but there's some marriage 101 for you. But Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32, talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just show you some things. And I tried to underline everything in this one passage about what grieves the Holy Spirit. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So evidently, lying grieves the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. So we can be angry, but anger, and you'll see here in a little bit, it's something that does grieve the Holy Spirit, but we can be angry and not sin. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. How many of you can hold a grudge? Oh yeah, I can too. Don't do it. Exercise your will, submit it to the will of the Holy Spirit, and don't do it. I can too. It's like, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget, right? And that's not the way to be, because God forgives and he forgets. Because God's like, I don't even know you ever did that.
Thank
you. All right, yes, thank goodness for that. But I know that I'm not like that, so I have to submit that part of me to the will of God and say, Lord, help me forget. Jada uses this scripture on me all the time because she knows I can hold a grudge. And I'll just be bound and turn. I'm mad at my wife today. And by gosh, I'm going to bed mad too. And I'll be all mad and just sulking. And see, I pout and sulk, okay? I'm telling off of myself when I'm mad, right? So everybody, she knows I'm mad. It's not like I'm trying to hide it, right? And then she'll use this scripture on me, and I know it. It's just something that her and I use. But she'll look at me, she'll say, "Sun going down. Sun's going down." I'm like, "Yeah, it's going to go down in the west, and it's going to come back up in the east, and I'm still going to be mad at you." Don't use scripture on me right now, you know. But I know she's right, so I have to submit. All right. And then it says, because what happens is the next verse says that if we do that, if we hold grudges, we let the sun go down on our anger, it says then you're giving place to the devil to get a foothold. All right? So don't do it. And it says, let him who stole, so stealing, that grieves the Holy Spirit, stole still no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. Let me turn the screen for you. That he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, okay? That's not just profanity. That's just anything negative or talking bad about somebody or whatever. But what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve, here it is, the scripture that goes with all this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he goes on to say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Go back where it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. What happens is whenever I'm short with Jada, I'm going to use that example from my own life. When I'm short with her and I feel that disconnect in our relationship, also feel that disconnect with my Heavenly Father, that doesn't mean I'm not saved. And then I'm not going to go to heaven, all right? That just means I have lost intimacy with my Father and with my wife. And so all I got to do is just repent and say, Father, I'm sorry, I repent. And I'm back in right fellowship with him. And then I got to say, I'm sorry, and I repent to my wife, and I'm back in right fellowship with her, if she'll forgive me. And she's good at forgiving, because she does it before the sun goes down. Amen. She does it every time. And so that, what I'm trying to say, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's not that you lose your salvation. It's just that you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the intimacy with him. You're grieving that he wants to tell you things, and so you've cut him off. He's a gentleman, and everybody said amen. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And just ask the Lord, like David did, you know, if there's anything in my heart, God, that's grieving you, just reveal it to me. You know, but and as you do that and as you walk these things out that I'm telling you, you'll start getting more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be able to lead and guide and direct you by his Spirit even better. Amen. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be honest. There's been times I've done things when I know the Holy Spirit told me not to do it, and I still did it anyway. Because, by gosh, I'm right, you know. And the Holy Spirit's like, oh, God, here we go. I love him, but my gosh. He's going to do it to himself, Father. We tried, you know, but there he goes. You know, there's Jerick walking across the street. Looking back at the Holy Spirit, you know, I am Jerick, you're right, you know. I'm a 3-year-old in a 52-year-old body, right, acting the same way. And a lot of us do that. And I want to exert, and I'm praying that you get this. The Holy Spirit's a person. He wants to have a relationship with you, but there are things that we do that grieves the Holy Spirit. Doesn't knock off your salvation or anything like that, but I want to stay in right fellowship with the Father. And so I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And you can train your conscience to be sensitive, And if you, let me go the other way. If you do this going the other way and go against what you know the Holy Spirit's doing to you, eventually you harden your heart to the point where it's hard for God to get through to you.
Yes.
And I don't want to live like that. And there's been times, I'll be honest with you, there's been times in certain areas of my life I'll have a hard heart. The Holy Spirit just keeps, hey, what about that little area? Just stay away. You know, And those are the areas you've got to submit to the Holy Spirit. And everybody said,
amen.
Okay. Did everybody get something today?
Amen.
All right, here's the takeaways today. The Holy Spirit is a person, and He has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a will, and the Holy Spirit has emotions, and He wants us to have a relationship with Him. Okay? All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. I'm going to pray this prayer over all of us. And then if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're going to leave here knowing who He is. And because I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation, because the Bible says that we have to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want to pray this prayer over all of us first this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We just want to say happy Father's Day to You today. Thank You, Father, that You gave us the person of Your Holy Spirit to be here on earth with us. And we want to get to know the Holy Spirit personally. God, please teach what is on Your mind. Show us Your specific will. And please help us not grieve the Holy Spirit. But when we do, I pray, God, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's wooing and just immediately repent and get back into right fellowship with You. And so, God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And even if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer with Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I believe You are the Son of God, and You died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear Your voice. I accept You as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank You for saving me. And everybody said, amen. God is good and all the time. If you need special prayer, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. But if you need special prayer concerning anything, I want you to come up here. We'll pray for you today. I'm going to go back here and greet everybody as they leave. But if you need special prayer, you can stay and we'll pray for you. But I want everybody to stand up and I'm going to speak the Father's blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. How many dads are going home and grilling? Good. So, if Micah is, all right. I know the U.S. Open's on today for Father's Day. The OU baseball's playing today. Man, it's just a great day for dads. By the way, I want to say happy birthday to my brother-in-law, Clark, back there. He is celebrating a birthday and Father's Day today. Yeah. He's Pentecostal. He's 56. Amen. 56 today. All right. Jada, would you come up here, babe, and we're going to speak a blessing over you guys. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Love you guys. Have a blessed week.